Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now. Well, good morning, everyone. Great to be with you again here on the Rediscover Hour. My name is Patrick Conley, and I'm privileged to be with you to spend this hour together as we rediscover our Catholic faith and seek the evangelization of the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. We got a great show lined up today, and I am pleased, very pleased to introduce both two events that are coming up on October 28th and 29th here in the Twin Cities. We'll start actually with the event on October 29th, which is Archdiocesan Youth Day. It's a great event, hoping that there's just a massive turnout of youth for Archdiocesan Youth Day that's coming up. We've got on the phone, which we'll greet shortly here, Father Agustino Torres, who's the keynote speaker at Archdiocesan Youth Day. And we'll also be focusing on a celebration banquet that's going on for Abrea Pregnancy Resources, and we've got their executive director, Lisa Schmitz, right here in studio with us. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Yeah,
it's great to be
with you. It's great to have you here in studio as well. And we'll be talking with you just a little bit later on. But as we turn the page again back to Saturday, October 29th, and Archdiocesan Youth Day here for the Archdiocese of the Twin Cities of St. Paul, Minneapolis, it looks like they've got a great lineup. And our keynote speaker, as I said, is Father Agustino Torres, who joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I started the day with Mass at a Carmelite monastery. What a great way to start a Friday.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, absolutely. That's the best way. I can't think of a better way to start the day, isn't it?
Little piece of heaven. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. Hey, so tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, I've seen some things from you and about you online, but tell us, if you can, in just a snippet, you know, who are you? Who is Father Agustino Torres, and how did you get to this point of doing these public speaking and encouraging young people today?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a poor sinner hoping to get in the back door of heaven and bring as many souls with me as I possibly can.
I'll definitely meet you there at the back door.
I came to school up to the Northeast for university, and that's where I met the Franciscan friars. I thought they were weird when I first saw them, and the Lord, you know, Mother Teresa said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a couple curveballs, and when I finally visited the friars, I saw that, wow, you know, this was the place that God was calling me to, and here I am.
Wow. So I think the pertinent question right now, Father, is that since you've joined the Franciscan friars, have they gotten weirder or more normal?
I think that once I joined, the weird factor went through the roof. But no. I mean, I had never really seen religious growing up. I grew up in South Texas. It was all diocesan priests, and you know, there's a real cool, the first friar I actually ran into was Father Stan, who was like an amazing musician and rapper and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not used to seeing that every Sunday. But God is merciful, and, you know, he really has a way of bringing you in. And really what drew me was the work with the poor and evangelization, which is, you know, just in my blood and really what I love. And the Lord has really granted me the grace to be a part of a community that loves to do that.
Yeah, in many, many ways, I think both obviously the community and then you yourself personally, as you're the co-founder of something called the Catholic Underground, tell us a little bit more about that.
Catholic Underground. So John Paul II said that if the gospel does not engage culture, then the gospel falls silent. So when we read this as brothers, we're in seminary at the time. We're like, whoa, like, what does that mean? You know, like, how can we engage culture, but yet, you know, we're still very Catholic. And sometimes I feel that when we try to engage culture, sometimes I feel that we kind of like leave too much at the door, in my opinion. And I think that our Catholic culture is such an asset, such a beautiful thing. So Catholic Underground is a marriage between prayer and performance. So we have a beautiful holy hour I was just there this past Saturday. About 700 young adults fill this church in Manhattan, and we just have like a holy hour, tons of confessions. There's 8 priests confessing, all these wonderful people for like a couple hours. And then everyone goes downstairs to the underground where we invite a different Catholic artist to, you know, just like have a forum to show their art. You know, the Catholic Church for centuries was the innovator of culture, and there's no reason why we can't do the same thing today. But so many Catholic artists don't have a forum, and it's like it's meant for all different types of art, but it's performance art, so it's mostly music. So we've had poetry, we've had drama, we've had film, and that's kind of like the forum that we want to provide for these artists. So it's a lot of fun, you know, and it's a great event. People come out from all over the New York area, you know, Jersey, Connecticut, even as far as Philly, they come up because it's an event, and we kind of evangelize without evangelizing. So it's like the environment that evangelizes.
Right.
You know, we share a couple words during the holy hour, but it's not really like preaching or like a mass. And so many people, they need a little step to come back to the church.
Sure.
You know, like I have tons of friends, but they're not going to come back straight to mass. But they will come to an event that's at a church that seems kind of cool, that, you know, there's these guys with beards walking around, and, oh, was that a nun I saw? Wow, this is really cool. This is like a party. Because it is. It's a celebration of beauty, of goodness, and truth in the package that we call Catholic Underground.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being responsive to the Holy Spirit and all your work in that. Shifting just a little bit, you're originally from South Texas. You're out on the East Coast now, and then you're coming to the frozen north up here in Minnesota for our Archdiocesan Youth Day. Now, hopefully we won't be too frozen by the end of October. But have you been in Minnesota before? And a follow-up question to that is, what are you looking forward to in coming to speak to us?
Wow, I have never been to Minnesota.
What?
I'm super excited. I went to school with a couple people, some good friends of mine from college or from Minnesota, you know, Apple Valley, Minnesota, in fact. And I'm looking forward to kind of like calling some of my college friends, say, hey, I'm in town, what's going on? And I'm actually stationed with a brother, Father Isaac Spinharney, who's actually his family's from the Twin City area. And so I'm looking forward just to kind of like, you know, spread the love. What am I looking forward to? Well, you guys have a wonderful reputation of being super nice. and I'm just looking forward to meeting people and you know, bringing some of that niceness back to New York. Because let me tell you something, need some of that over here.
Yeah, I would say that there's some significant cultural differences between the East Coast and how we generally get on over here in Minnesota. That's definitely true. Well, I for one would say very much welcome to you. I'm so pleased that you're going to be with us. And if I may, the Cathedral of St. Paul is both my my parish, my home parish, and it's also the place where I work. And so I would extend a special invitation to you. Please don't miss it. Come and see us at the Cathedral of St. Paul. It was labeled actually one of the 10 most beautiful churches in America. So come and see us. I think you would be very impressed. But one more question, I think, here before we have to go to break. But Father Agostino, can you give us a little snippet? I mean, what's God placing on your heart right now to give to the youth at our Archdiocesan Youth Day on October 29th?
The word is mercy. And I think that the youth today, like, you know, we talk about mercy and confession and all that. But I honestly think that there's a deep-seated wound in the heart of so many young people who kind of like, you know, talk the talk, but inside their hearts, they feel like they're not worthy, that they're not able. And I want to talk to that wound.
Mm.
I want to talk to that, and I want to talk about how that wound can become glorified in the mercy of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's amazing. And I'm imagining in the work that you do, you see evidence of that all the time, all of that woundedness, but also of how God addresses that wound. Is that right?
It is amazing to see people transformed in God's mercy. You know, sometimes we think that heaven's going to be all perfect people. No way! You know, Jesus carried his wounds to heaven, and we're going to carry our wounds, and they're going to be glorified, and we're going to be sharing the glory stories of saying what God did in our lives. And I can't wait to be able to share some stories with you all in Minnesota.
That's amazing. Archdiocesan Youth Day is coming up on Saturday, October 29th. Again, hoping for a huge turnout to hear not only Father Agustino Torres, but also Archbishop Hebda, and just a wonderful, wonderful lineup they've got. Saturday, October 29th, 1:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. You can certainly check out more information on the Archdiocesan website, which is simply archspm, archspm.org. Father Agustino, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure having you on.
You got it, Patrick. God bless. Hope to see you in a couple of days.
All right. Thank you. So we're here at the Rediscover Hour. We're going to take a short break and be back with Lisa Schmitz, the Executive Director of Abria Pregnancy Resources. Stick with us.
My name is Steve Smith. You've heard from my dad for years about modern roadways. Winter is coming, but there's still time to have us fix any current potholes or areas that will be trouble in your driveway or parking lot by spring. We clean the area and apply a tack coat so the new holds to the old. Next, we patch over the present surface using its strength and durability and only jackhammer and excavate where it is necessary. Skin patching is one-third the cost of excavation patching, so it covers three times as much area for the same cost. We still offer a $100 discount to any customer who gives us a go-ahead on any job of $1,000 or more and identifies themselves as a relevant radio listener. We've just received another A-plus award from the Better Business Bureau. We provide free estimates and work quickly to repair your asphalt. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777. 763-545-1777. When the sea locked in the minor places.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Great to have you with us. If you're just joining us, we just spoke with Father Agustino Torres, who's going to be our keynote speaker at Archdiocesan Youth Day on October 29th. And joining me now in studio is Lisa Schmitz, who's the Executive Director of Abria Pregnancy Resources. And I hear you have a connection with Father Agustino. Is that right, Lisa?
I do. I was very privileged to be able to discern with his order. I won't tell you how long ago, but I was a novice with their order. I spent a year and a half with them, and it was a great blessing to me.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but, you know, you're still doing, obviously, the Lord's work. The Lord had different things in mind mm-hmm. for you. And so mm-hmm. now you're the Executive Director of Abria Pregnancy Resources. And just a question about how you got drawn into that. Tell us a little bit about your story, the way that you sense God's call in your life to kind of move in this direction of providing resources for pregnant women.
Sure. It really was a calling. I actually started out with a big government career for 10 years before I was called in to discern religious life. And then when God was done with me there, I also help serve the poor and the homeless as Father's Order does. And I continued to try to do that when I moved back here to the cities. And I actually worked with Catholic Charities, with the family shelter in Ramsey County. And I loved it. But I actually kept seeing pregnant women come in there alone and without a lot of resources. And so that was very much on my heart, feeling like we should do more. And I'd always been pro-life. And my own sister was a teen mom, and she had a lot of support with us. And we love her and her daughter dearly. But I saw, even with the support, how it can be really a tough challenge. And so I always wanted to do more. And I ended up with a job at University Life Care Center as their director a little over 10 years ago. And I really had felt for a year and a half before that I was supposed to work there, but there wasn't a position. And then when there was, I jumped right in, and I've been blessed to be doing it ever since.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us a little bit about, Abria is relatively young.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about just how Abria came about.
Right, so Abria was a merger between University Life Care Center and Highland Life Care Center. And so University is one of the oldest centers in the state, but Abria is new in that we really wanted to look at, we spent a year in 2015 really before we opened looking at what is changing in the culture with abortion and culture and sexual health and how millennials are responding to all these things, which are our main folks getting abortions and what we needed to do differently. And we really wanted to be responding to them in the way that they can be best reached and in the location where we needed to be the most. So we consolidated our facilities and moved across the street from the Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. We're right in the heart of our urban core in near a dozen low-income neighborhoods and within 5 miles of 10 colleges and universities so that we can be where our clients are and serve them.
That's amazing. Right there in the midst of it. I mean, you're just bringing the gospel of life into this place that is, that's in many ways literally dying.
Yeah, it can feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, well, I suppose it would. Yeah, yep. It can feel that way, sure. Right. So you spoke a little bit about the kind of a cultural shift or the way that millennials, you mentioned, are responding, that sort of thing. What signs of hope do you see? Or where do you see the Holy Spirit really making inroads into our current culture with the gospel of life?
Right. Well, there really is a lot of positive news. I mean, abortions are down nationwide. Teen pregnancies are down. They're the biggest pro-life generation than we ever had in the history of our country. But it's still, abortion is still very prevalent. We still have around 10,000 a year in Minnesota, half of which are done across the street from our facility. And so I think the main thing is that people are seeing a little bit of what abortion for what it is, and it certainly is a legal right that they know they have a choice about. But at Abria, we really see they have that right to choose, but they also have a corresponding right to know, and a right to know that we are there for them, that they are stronger and more beautiful than the society is telling them that they are. Our name, Abria, means strong and beautiful, and that's how we see our clients, and we want to make sure that they have all the information they need and that safe, non-judgmental place to come and just talk about their situation and get the medical services, the authentic health care that women really deserve, and get the information they need.
Yeah. So let's just say for a moment that I'm an unwed, a single woman with an unexpected pregnancy, probably fairly young. And I walk in through the doors through Abria. What can I expect?
Mm-hmm. Well, first you'll be greeted with a smile, and our mission statement really calls for that safe, non-judgmental, supportive place. And and we really want our clients to experience friendship, we want to experience hope and encouragement, and along with that, some actual authentic information and tools and resources that they can use. So they have a chance to sit down with someone, even if all they want is just to talk with someone about their situation. We have certified life coaches, professional counselors. We have a medical person, a registered nurse on staff, most of our open hours. So really right in there, we have multiple people that can work with them. Sometimes they'll come in and, you know, spend a couple hours if that's what they need going from one, making a plan for the next steps.
That's amazing. Wow. excuse me. So I guess a follow-up question is, if you have all these wonderful things going on already, what do you sense that God is placing on your heart for how Abria might continue to grow and respond and be better equipped to respond to the needs of pregnant women?
Right. Well, we have a 5-year vision, and part of that plan has been to continue to grow our services. We have a really unique suite of medical and personal support services, but we hope to add prenatal care so that they don't have to go off-site to a different doctor to have that plan. They can continue their care right here in-house, and potentially additional STI testing, so they don't have to go to community clinic for that. They can do all of that right in-house. And we're always looking at improving and tweaking our services. We're adding a parenting group. One of our certified parenting coaches is starting this weekend, a scream-free parenting class, which was
nice.
A really popular one that people
bet,
are signing up for. So
uh-huh.
We're just always looking at what the need is and trying to fill that.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I know that one of the ways, obviously, that we can support you is to pray for you.
Absolutely.
And we certainly pray as these plans continue to come to their fulfillment, as God continues to work through you in these ways. But you're also having this celebration banquet
right.
coming up on Friday, October 28th.
Right.
And news is it's sold out. Is that right?
It is sold out. Yeah, we do have a waiting list. We're hoping we can squeeze a couple more folks in from that list. But yeah, we were blessed that it sold out quickly.
Wow. Well, that's, I think it's great. Obviously, it's great news that it is sold out. But are there other ways that we, just listening, if we didn't squeak onto the waiting list, are there other ways that we can support Abria in general, in the mission that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, prayer is number one. It is it is a spiritual battle that holds us up when you pray. But we need volunteers. There's all kinds of volunteer opportunities working directly with clients or behind the scenes. We definitely need financial support. We have no government funding. We've done that on purpose to be free. And so we definitely rely on the generosity of others so that we can provide those free and confidential services.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great. And as a surprise for our listener, or listeners, maybe we only have one. I don't know. As a surprise for our listeners, you are having a special musical guest at this celebration banquet. You want to tell us who that
sure.
is?
Sure. We have Sarah Groves, beautiful musician, and we're excited to have her as our special guest.
Yeah, absolutely. And a surprise, a second surprise, is that we actually have an interview with her coming up after our next break. So we can hear a little bit more about her. We'll hear some of her music. We'll get a sense of her passion for the Lord and for the work that he has placed on her life as well. So, Lisa, tell us just as we're kind of winding up here, too, tell us a little bit more about if we want to get in touch. I mean, what's the best way of getting in touch with Abrea, whether it's to volunteer, to support, or to refer someone maybe who might be in need of your services?
Yeah, we have a supporters website. It's supporters.abrea.org, and that'll tell you everything you need to know, including how to refer clients. We do also have a separate site for clients that if they want to just get on and read confidentially about what we do, then that is simply abrea.org, A-B-R-I-A.org.
Nice. Nice. Well, very, very good to have you joining us in studio today. And any disappointment in not following through with the religious life?
Well, you know, the following God's will is always the best thing.
Absolutely.
It's hard to, when he was done with me there, but I'm happy with what he's brought me to.
Right. And are you planning on seeing Father Agostino when he comes?
I hope so.
Town?
We are going to be at the conference, have a booth at Abrea, so I hope I'll be able to catch him for a few minutes.
Good.
He's a busy, popular man, so I know he'll be doing confessions and all that he needs to be doing there.
Right, right. I'm sure he's busy and popular. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We started out the hour talking with Father Agostino Torres, who's our keynote speaker at Archdiocese and Youth Day, which is coming up on October 29th. Still encouraging lots of folks to go check out the Archdiocesan website at archspm.org and find out more information about that. Register, come, tell your friends, bring your loved ones, and show up for Archdiocesan Youth Day. And then now we've been talking with Lisa Schmitz here in studio, the executive director of Abrea Pregnancy Resources. It's been great to speak with her specifically about the work that Abrea is doing, providing such wonderful and needed care from the Holy Spirit, obviously, to these young women who are in need of pregnancy resources. So, Lisa, we thank you so much for joining us in studio.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, and absolutely. And may God bless everything that you and Abrea is doing.
Thank you. You too.
So. Absolutely. So we've got the surprise interview with Sarah Groves, who is a Christian musician, and she's going to be performing live along with a couple of her musician friends at the Abrea Celebration Banquet, which is coming up on Friday, October 28th. Tickets are sold out for that event, but those of you who want to support Abrea can go to supporters.abria.org and find out more about what's going on there. So stick with us right after this coming break. Then we will have an interview with Sarah Groves, who will be performing live at the Abrea event. Stay with us as we are coming back.
Rediscover.
Alice could not believe her ears. Was she hearing this right? Her daughter was yelling at her. She was leaving again. How long would she be alone this time? Maybe a few days, maybe a week or longer. She already felt cold. And as her daughter walked out the door, Alice wondered if the neighbors could hear how she screamed for her to take her pills, to stay in the basement, and to not talk to anyone. That was last Thursday. And as she lay barely lucid on the basement floor, too weak to get up or even call for help, Alice began to wonder, could this be it? Or could there be help out there? If you suspect a vulnerable adult is being abused, neglected, or financially exploited, call the Minnesota Adult Abuse Reporting Center at 1-844-880-1574. You could make the difference. That's the power of could. Call 844-880-1574.
Thank you.
time for a speech or for silence. Are you calling for peace or defiance? Is this darkening counsel or wisdom? Are we all perpetrators or victims?
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Did you like that music? That was great, wasn't it? That's local singer-songwriter Sarah Groves from her latest album, which is called Floodplain, and that track itself is called Second Guess Girl. Sarah has established a national following since her debut album in 1998 with her real and heartfelt lyrics and a deep and integrated faith. She's an evangelical Christian woman with a passion for justice and a heart of mercy. And that ties in with what we're talking about today as the Abrea Pregnancy Resource Center. The mission that they have actually resonates with Sarah, and she's lending her voice to support Abrea at its annual celebration banquet coming up on October 28th. I'm sorry to say, here's the bad news, folks. Tickets are already sold out for that event, but that's good news for the culture of life that we're seeking to build here. But your support for Abrea is always welcome. And today, we are honored to have Sarah Groves join us for the Rediscover Hour here on the phone. So welcome to you, Sarah.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you are performing at this Abrea Celebration Banquet. It's a banquet with the theme of Add to the Beauty, as I understand it, which is a theme that's actually inspired by one of your albums and a song of the same name. So tell me a little bit about what drew you to Abrea's mission to invite women and couples facing unexpected pregnancy to find, well, the true beauty of God's creation and to choose life.
I think that Add to the Beauty, the whole theme of that album is, in a lot of my music, is about empathy. You know, if we've determined that someone, we've judged all the reasons why they're in any number of situations, you know, why they're depressed, why they're struggling with this situation, with addiction or whatever, if we've kind of come to these conclusions about each other, you know, about how we got there,
mm-hmm.
instead of sort of seeing that we're all in the soup and that God is doing his work, and his work is redemption, beauty for ashes. That's what he does over and over again.
Right.
So I think that what I read about and have learned about the work of Abrea is just such a brilliant and beautiful meeting of the heart and looking at the people involved instead of maybe, thinking policy over people. And so that really resonates with me because it's seeing that humanity in there and not, you know, jumping maybe to conclusions about, sitting sort of in judgment of someone, but coming alongside of them. And it's such a beautiful example, I think, of even the life of Christ.
Right, absolutely. So seeing the beauty of that, the dignity of human life within, and adding to that beauty by encouraging them along what can be very challenging roads, I'm sure, and helping them to make choices to add to the beauty, yeah?
Yeah, and to have that tell a better story. You know, we always have a choice to tell one type of story or another, and it's my, you know, life's hope that I would continue to hand over the pen and ask, you know, that the Lord would help me in writing a better story with my life.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful analogy. I love it. So specifically about the song and title track of Add to the Beauty there, I love the idea of, you know, the three transcendentals, the way in which God reveals himself to the world today through beauty, truth, and goodness. And that those things are all around us, but at the same time, our choices can either, as you say, add to it, or it can actually detract from it. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you were thinking about specifically when you wrote the song, Add to the Beauty?
Well, the whole album is really the end of a sentence, a long sentence that I started in 2000 with my first record, Conversations. And I felt like it Add to the Beauty was sort of and it's a bookend with Conversations. And I had gone through, in the middle there, I'd gone through a faith crisis, just trying to sort out the reality of faith, of this good news. What does this actually look like? And I found in the story of the Good Samaritan, I saw that I had been somehow categorically dismissing this the other, you know, person, where the Samaritan sees a neighbor, the other men do not see a neighbor.
Right.
And so I wanted to, I was practicing something that I hadn't practiced before. And I was feeling that sort of the reality that, wow, when we, there's a song on there called, The Kingdom Comes, and it says basically like it's just all these little decisions and these little moves that add a stone and mortar to, you know, it's a little seed, it's a little water, it's a little stone, it's a little mortar. And so I was just thinking about that, basically the kingdom of God is real, and it's not this sort of it's not this other thing that's happening. It is integral, you know, to our lives.
Yeah.
And we experience it in our in our relationships. And so it's not just this just a list of sort of like, here are minimum requirements,
yeah,
you know, for life.
Right.
But it is life-giving, and it is life-affirming, and which is what Abria and all of this is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about this sort of a list of you know, make sure you're on the right side of this line, but more, no, this is actually a loving God that is teaching us about how to be human, you know, and how to fully embrace an abundant life, a full life. And so even though there's a writer that I love who says all good things have a threshold of effort, you know, and in that, but getting over that threshold of effort brings us into so many good things, you know. So it can be hard. It can be a hard choice. It can be a difficult place, but for me, that record was affirming. It's true, you know, when I go across that threshold of effort, there are many good things for me there, you know, and it's a rich, rich life. And, so that's really that album was affirming, you know, what he says about himself, what he says about us is true.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can trust it. We can trust what he's saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cooperating with God's grace, with God's will in every moment of our everyday lives, I think leads us into exactly what you're talking about, which is seeing the Lord at work in each and every moment, and not just kind of, you know, striving through getting to the end of the day and then crashing in bed just to do it all over again the next day, but recognizing, as you said, that God is teaching us how to be human. I think it's a beautiful thing. Let's actually, Paul, let's listen to a little bit of that title track there from Add to the Beauty. Just have a listen here. Sarah Groves and her title track from the album Add to the Beauty. And Sarah joins us on the phone today here on the Rediscover Hour. And Sarah, I love one of the lines, well, I love a lot of the lines in that song, calling out the best of who we are. That's what the Lord is all about in our lives. Again, each and every moment of each and every day. And I understand that you are a mother as well. That's certainly got to call out the best of who you are as well. You and your husband have three children, is that right?
Yeah, we have two boys, 16 and 13, and then a daughter who's 9.
Wow, that's great. Well, that's, I bet you have your hands full about some kids that age. Yeah, absolutely. Right. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, how has family shaped your music and the songs that you write?
Yeah, I have, you know, all my years ago, a friend of mine said, God is the ocean, and we keep writing about a cup of water. And that really resonated with me. I've always attempted to write about the whole of life. And you said, the, you know, those three ways that God, he shows himself to us everywhere in all these amazing ways, and definitely in my family. And it just fascinates me how families work and how they don't work, you know, the dysfunction of it, and how you are, you know, called to guide and motivate and teach. And yet, you know, I look at my own stubborn heart, and how do I learn, you know? So it's just, it has shaped, you learn a lot about God, I think, in your own self when you're raising kids. I almost feel like life happens in three acts. You have act one, where you're a child and you're trying to figure out the rules of what's happening, you know, what's going on and what shapes this whole thing. But when you have children, you kind of, you have life part two, you know, and you get to see the world again through, you know, it's a kind of like the first time I went to the zoo with my children, I hadn't been to the zoo since I was a child. And so there was this rediscovery of the whole world in a way through their eyes and their lens. And, you know, a lot of people kind of will say, oh, teenagers, but I love it. They are, they're fascinating. I think I really like them as people. They're becoming amazing human beings. And I feel very honored to be their mom.
That's wonderful. So just out of curiosity, then, what is act three in the human life?
Well, I guess I look at my grandparents. Now, my grandparents are still living. They're 94. They just celebrated their 73rd wedding anniversary. And so they would be on act four, which not everyone gets act four.
But, okay, right.
But act three, I looked, I was thinking, and I'm actually working on a song with this idea in it. I was just with a family of three generations of a family and watching the grandparents now come alongside the parents in there. And they don't have quite the same burden of responsibility in raising those kids, but they are, again, experiencing life. It seems like in the middle there, you kind of forget, and then you have this new baby come into the picture, and it really, it changes everything. You have this, I don't know, I think just sort of a focus on, wow, you know, this is a miracle, this really matters, and so just watching these grandparents and parents and children, I was thinking about those things have shaped me for sure. And I have not experienced the act three yet, but I am. I was just witnessing it and thinking about how, you know, really in many ways their life has radically changed again, you know, with the entrance of these children.
Right. Absolutely. So as you talk a little bit more about some of those parts of a view of life that has been given to you through your children and how that has informed your music and inspired your music, tell us a little bit more. I mean, obviously, in your motherhood, your family life has inspired you. What else are some of your chief inspirations for the work that you do in the musical field?
Well, I write about the whole of life. I try to really, I believe all truth is God's truth, and that, you know, I do have a strong empathy, you know, a pull towards empathy. And I feel like a lot of our public discourse is lacking in that ability to sort of just not assume the absolute worst about the other person that we're talking to or trying to convince of some of a view. And so, I basically am working out my salvation, as Paul says, I'm working out my salvation through music. But that, you know, that's in every aspect, every corner of life. You know, I see that God is empathetic to us, you know, and in that he's over all these all this time he's bent so low to work with humanity, you know, and to work on terms that we can kind of understand or, you know, comprehend these sort of huge ideas and these huge things. And so he's been that to me. I felt that there's this a theme of me being a stupid sheep and him, you know, saying, hey, I'm a stupid sheep. You got to speak up, you know, for me to understand. And so I write a lot about that, whether it's through my marriage. I've written a lot about my marriage and about beauty and the whole, really the whole life. I've written a lot about social justice issues, different things like that. That's in 2005. I had a real radical encounter with a human trafficking victim, and so some of those things, and just that issues of justice and how, yeah, just what it means to see a neighbor and respond that way, you know, those questions, and not to feel like I'm saving the world either, because that I've seen lots of friends, you know, we get burdened with it, but God really just has a very specific, my friend always says, we're not Santa Claus, we're just an elf on the line, you know, and it does take many hearts working together, you know, and that to me is that's miraculous when you see that, you know, different people just sort of showing up and doing their part and playing a role in a larger story. It's really beautiful.
Right. So interestingly enough, Sarah, so I want to say that these concepts may seem almost contrary in nature. On the one hand, you're talking about, you know, seeing the beauty, adding to the beauty through our choices of God alive and at work within us each and every moment of each and every day. But on the other hand, you did mention the social justice issues, specifically the issue of human trafficking, which, I mean, if anything, gosh, if somebody who's caught up in something like that, how can they see God in the midst of all that? So I know you've been really involved with that specific issue, the exploitation of women and children through human trafficking. So tell us a little bit about how you became involved and what hope you see there in the efforts to stop this global crime.
Well, for me, you know, it hit me so hard that it really paralyzed me. I probably spent several months just pacing the floor, you know, as I was learning about the depths of some of the things that were happening. And it was, I felt like, is this, you know, I was just in prayer constantly. Is this what life is? We exchange innocence for dark knowledge and just sort of have this increasing heaviness. And at that point, throwing that question out there, I felt like there was just then brought to me a parade of people who absolutely rejected that idea that you just sort of trade innocence for dark knowledge and then just sort of like crumple. Mm. And it was just a parade of real people, of people in literature, people who have had, you know, I don't know personally, but books that I was reading, who have said, no, absolutely not. There's actually you know, God's economy is so different than our economy in every single way. And so there is this adventure that is, I don't mean to trivialize. I mean, to me, it's not just an adventure, but there is real life. There's a vibrant living in engaging with hard things. And so I just begin to see all these people, including Gary Haugen, who's the president of International Justice Mission, which is the largest anti-trafficking group in the world, and is faith-based. And they are, I remember he was quoting, I think, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but he was saying, in times of despair and the crushing of the innocent, I used to ask, where is God when innocence is lost at this level? But he said, now my plea has changed. I've begun to ask, where are God's people? And so I just had this understanding that it's true that God is in partnership in a way with his church, you know. He is working with us, and I don't understand all of that. I don't get it all, but when I see it happening, it is transformative. When you see, like, I live in the city, and we have a lot of homeless here, and when I see people engaging in a way that affirms, you know, life and affirms humanity and just is empathetic, and feels to me like, oh, that feels like what Jesus was doing, you know, that is, to me, it is shaking off. It's saying, I'm going to not be in a la-la land or so spiritually minded I'm no earthly good, but like all of our exemplars, you know, Mother Teresa and others who have, they've leaned into something very difficult, and out of that, you know, just like a phoenix, you know, something has risen from the ashes. That, and I know that it's a lot of hard work. It's not just, it doesn't just come about easily, but I've written a lot about that, a long obedience in the same direction. You know, that is Mm-hmm. There's something about that that's very beautiful. My grandparents did prison ministry for 40 years. And to hear the stories that came out of that, now that was actually very practical. They got in their car two times a week and they drove down to the federal medical prison in our town. And they, you know, they had to go through some difficult, you know, there were different leadership changes and it wasn't always easy. And sometimes they were recognized for their work and many times they were not. So right. There's a practical daily part to all of this that is like waiting in a DMV line. You know, it's not fun. It's not, it isn't glamorous. There's nothing about it that feels like sort of life-giving, but you step back and you begin to hear stories. And I know now I'm in touch with an inmate that was there at the time. He'd been in prison from age 13 through juvenile through the age 28. And he is, he and his wife and his family reconnected later with my grandparents, and their story's just amazing, you know? And so here's this whole four generations of a family really impacted by this, you know, this sort of the hard work of and diligence of going out. But then it's not just about this friend that is, you know, sees his life, this generative thing happen in his life. It's also for my grandparents, the greatest gift they could ever be given, you know, right. And they would say immediately that's so, yeah, I think all these conversations do, we want to feel, I think in America culture too, we want to feel comfortable. We want to be, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it's about mm-hmm. being, I want to feel good and feel happy or feel, you know, and so we've leaned so much into comfort and things that make us comfortable. And I really feel like that in a way it bankrupts our, right. you know, our existence here instead of having this sort of very, sometimes messy, but very vibrant, you know, where you're really needing God's partnership. You know, a lot of us, it's kind of like it's an added thing, but I have a friend who just says, you know, there's an urgency to it when you put yourself out there like that, you know, that you feel the rescue, the incarnation
right.
is necessary, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Sarah Groves, a local singer-songwriter, certainly with a national, maybe international following, and she is speaking to us today because she is going to be playing at the upcoming Abria Celebration Banquet on October 28th, which is a sold-out event, but your support for Abria as well as your encouraging and supporting Sarah in her music is still very much appreciated. Sarah, many of our listeners probably are very familiar with you and your music, I'm sure. I've certainly listened to your stuff before, but you may have a few folks out there, it could just be, who haven't been touched by your music yet, and they probably want to know, how can they find out more? Where can they find out more about you and your music?
Well, anywhere music is sold, you can find, Amazon.com or iTunes or SarahGroves.com, and there's no H on Sarah. I'm Sarah without an H. So SarahGroves.com will have our, you know, information about where we're, I'm not touring as much as I used to, but it has concert dates and all that information there. And yeah, and I'd invite people to go listen. We have obviously music up on the website that you can just listen to as well. So yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. Sarah, it's been such a pleasure having you on today. I appreciate your depth of insight into some real life issues, both in seeing God at work within us in the even the smaller quote-unquote moments of the day and working his beauty, his redemption just in our lives. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great having you on. Sarah Groves will be singing at the Abria Pregnancy Resources Banquet. For folks who are attending that banquet coming up on October 28th, what a treat it'll be to hear Sarah live and also music from her fellow artists and good friends, singer-songwriter couple Jenny and Tyler. Looks like it's going to be a truly beautiful evening. You can find out more about Abria Pregnancy Resources and their mission to help women and couples facing unexpected pregnancy at supporters.abria.org. Again, that's supporters.abria, A-B-R-I-A.org. Or you can give them a call at 651-695-0111. That's 651-695-0111. Stick with us on the Rediscover Hour. We've got more coming up.
Closer to the life in the ebb and flow. Closer to the edge of I don't know. Closer to that's the way it goes. goes.
Have you seen how hard some businesses try to prove they're socially responsible, like it's a new idea? Well, Catholic United Financial, based right here in St. Paul, has been doing it for nearly 140 years. They consider folks members, not just customers or account numbers. Catholic United is a not-for-profit. They transform profits into purpose, bringing together members, employees, and volunteers to pursue their mission. Grants for local schools and parishes, post-secondary scholarships to members. They even have a disaster recovery team. Their annual Catholic Schools raffle for over 90 schools in the Upper Midwest has raised millions for Catholic education. So when you buy life insurance or a retirement product from Catholic United, you're not only protecting your family, you're also providing for the greater good of your community. Like that idea? Give your local sales rep a call. In Lakeville and Burnsville, that's Rick Mathewitz. Elsewhere, go to CatholicUnited.org and type in your zip code to find your local rep. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We've got about 5 minutes left in this week's show. It's been great to have Father Agustino Torres, the keynote speaker at Archdiocesan Youth Day, coming up on October 29th, as well as Lisa Schmitz and Sarah Groves on the program this morning, who are going to be helping out with the Abrea Pregnancy Resources Celebration Banquet on October 28th.
You've been a busy little boy today.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of stuff going on. Thanks for arranging it, Paul.
Well, and there is a ton of other things going
there
on.
There are indeed. Why don't you tell us about some of those,
Paul? Father David Bloom, Director of Vocations, invites women ages 16 to 35 who are discerning a consecrated life to the Miriam Dinner hosted by Archbishop Hebda Tuesday, October 18th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Archbishop's residence. Come for an evening of prayer and dinner with consecrated women sharing their vocation testimonies. Reserve your spot at the table before October 14th. Find out more. Visit 10,000vocations.org. That's 10,000, one and how many? Four zeros?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Vocations.org, or visit the events page at archspm.org.
Healthcare workers, along with their spouses and families, are invited to the annual White Mass for Healthcare Workers on Tuesday, October 18th at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This Mass will be celebrated on the Feast of St. Luke, the patron of healthcare workers. Reception immediately following in Hayden Hall. This Mass is sponsored by the St. Paul and Minneapolis Guild of the Catholic Medical Association and Curatio, an apostolate of Catholic healthcare professionals in cooperation with the Archdiocese for Marriage, Family, and Life. For more information, visit the events page of archspm.org or contact Sonia Flomo at flomos@archspm.org.
As followers of Jesus Christ, we're all on a lifelong journey, attaining knowledge about Him and His teachings, as well as fostering a closer relationship with Christ. The St. Bartholomew Catholic Faith Community in Wayzata invites you to draw closer to Christ by hearing Father Michael Jonkas present an evening of prayer through word and song, Tuesday, October 25th, 7 p.m. For more information, visit stbarts.org.
Have you ever asked God, what do you want me to do? Perhaps He's already showing you. The Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake invites you to join them for a two-day called and gifted workshop on Friday, October 28th and Saturday, October 29th. To register for the workshop, visit the events page at churchofstpaul.com. Registration ends October 21st. For additional information, contact Jonna Winkleman at 763-757-6910 or Jonna, that's J-O-N-A, at churchofstpaul.com.
Members of law enforcement and first responders, along with their families and the public, are invited to a special Blue Mass, 5:15 p.m. Wednesday, November 2nd, to honor their courageous service and ask for God's protection and blessings as we all work together to build up the common good. This Mass will be celebrated with Archbishop Bernard Hebda at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
Men, you are invited to the Thursday, November 10th Catholic Watchman Rally at the Church of Transfiguration in Oakdale. This rally will run from 6:30 to 9 o'clock p.m. with Archbishop Hebda presenting. This Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There'll be time for adoration and confession, and dinner will be provided. Registration is not required, but a free will offering will be accepted. For more information, visit thecatholicwatchman.com. And if you have questions, contact Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org or call 651-291-4483.
And you are hallowing these halls again next week.
I cannot stay away, it seems. Yeah, we mentioned there was an announcement.
We tried changing the lock.
Yes, but I have the key.
Yes, you do.
So we mentioned the upcoming Called and Gifted workshop at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. We've got another one coming up in November at Our Lady of Grace down in Edina. And next week, we're going to focus specifically on that. What would God have you do? What are the specific gifts that you've been given? This is something that's very near and dear to my heart. I've been a teacher of the Called and Gifted curriculum from the Catherine of Siena Institute for a number of years now. And this archdiocese is really seeing an uptick in the number of presentations of this workshop. So join us next week on the Rediscover Hour. I'll be here with you again. And we'll hear from the pastor of Holy Family Parish, Father Joseph Johnson, who will share with us the church's teaching on charisms and why it's important for parish life, mission, and evangelization. We'll also be joined by a young woman named Brandy Reed, who will give her testimony of participating in a Calling Gifted workshop and the difference that it's made in her life, and by Sean Lavelle, who's down at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, who will share with us his vision of how a parish can be transformed through its parishioners learning their charisms. So that's all coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour. I look forward to being with you then. Stay with us and keep the faith. The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.